Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 22nd of July, as per tradition. Because it is Thursday, I am here with Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
It's Thursday. You know what that means. Hi, Kelly.
It means
so good to be here, always.
I'm trying to figure out what Thursday means. Is it half-price margaritas? Is that what we're doing?
Thursday? Isn't Thursday fun day? No? I don't know.
I forget.
Almost Friday.
That's what it is. There we go. I'll take it. Today, as always, Bob, you come to talk to us about a great many things. And today, last week we talked about ergonomics. And this week we are here to talk about one specific piece of ergonomics, if I'm not mistaken. And that's keyboards.
Yes and no. We're also here to talk about what you do with a keyboard, and that is type on it without looking at the keys really fast.
I do both of those things. Yes.
Yeah. So part of it is using a keyboard more efficiently, mm-hmm. learning to type faster, which I consider a basic skill that many people like myself didn't get the first time around. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column about it, and in it I said when I was in middle school, the boys weren't allowed in the typing classes. Mm-hmm. Or home economics, for that matter. Both mm-hmm. of which I wanted to take, not just because girls were in there, but I wanted to know how to type. I wanted to know how to cook. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't done.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole generation of us that grew up paying other people to type stuff for us. Mm-hmm. All right. So I didn't learn to type till I was 30.
Oh, wow.
I always had people who typed for me. I used to say, I don't need to learn about computers. I'll pay people to use computers for me.
That's adorable.
I know, really cute, huh? That's back when I thought I was going to be a marketing guru. But the thing was, I quickly realized when I was about to buy my first Mac, mm-hmm. I realized that touch typing was not an option. It was a necessity. And so I taught myself to touch type with a hardback typing book mm-hmm. and an old electric typewriter. Mm-hmm. And for like,
was it the Selectric with the wheel?
It was an IBM Selectric with a little ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That little ball and with the thunk, 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 thunk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I learned to type about 60 words a minute on that typewriter. And then I bought a Mac Plus. And, you know, as long as I've been a Mac user, I've been typing 60 plus words a minute without mm-hmm. looking very comfortably because I learned, you know, like you would learn if you were going to be a typist.
Yep.
You know, I learned touch typing. So
I remember that book.
I've maintained that speed now for 3 decades. And one of the things, besides learning to type, first, if you don't already type 60, let's say, or 50 words a minute or more, you should. And you can go test that at, what's it called? I have it in my typingtest.com.
Oh, okay.
They also offer some free instruction modules if you want to learn to type faster. After you benchmark yourself, you can take some free lessons there.
Okay.
For what it's worth, I checked and I still type around 70 words a minute and close to 100% accuracy. Mm-hmm. There's another, you can buy a typing program. I mean, if you're a really terrible typist, it might behoove you to buy a program and track your progress for a few weeks to get that speed going. But if you're already a fairly proficient or partly proficient typist, the freebies like typingtest.com are going to be fine. But you want to shoot for 60, 70, 80 words a minute. I heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard somewhere that Jason Snell types 100 and some words a minute with basically 100% accuracy.
I type 100 and some words a minute with high 90% accuracy. So
really?
Yeah.
I can't get that fast, but it's that my fingers are a lot older than yours.
Well, I also didn't start when I was 30.
That's right.
By the time I was 30, I had been sitting in front of some form of keyboard for 20 plus years. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's an advantage. It's,
well, and know, one of them was the Apple Extended 2 keyboard, and which to my mind is the sound of productivity.
The Apple Extended keyboard? You mean the Battleship Saratoga?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I was going to say the USS Missouri keyboard, of keyboards.
My favorite keyboard ever.
Uh-huh.
But I will say this. That taught me that the most important thing for me is key travel, like how far the keys bounce and how quickly they bounce back. And Apple has gone towards more and more flat surface keyboards that have less and less bounce since that time, since the Saratoga.
It frustrates me to no end that the USS Missouri of keyboards was somehow a thing that we needed to flee instead of a thing we needed to embrace. Now, I understand you don't want people hauling around six inch thick laptops. I understand that completely. However, like,
we could still make
an extended
USB,
keyboard,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Touch ID
Bluetooth
keyboard.
Even.
Yeah. The Touch ID keyboard is a thing that I am considering heavily because it would be a nice Apple keyboard with Touch ID. And then, like, that's basically the key that gets the most use on my computer is the Touch ID key because I have an external keyboard. And why do I have an external keyboard? Because I have the one that has the same switches in it as what the Apple Extended 2 keyboard used to have.
Is
in
that
it.
A Matthias?
And I have the Matthias. Yes, I have the Matthias.
See, that would be my second favorite, absolutely positively.
Okay.
I have one, and they're fabulous if you love the Saratoga Battleship Extended Apple keyboard. Which, by the way, for those of you out there listening who never heard of that or don't remember it, it's so old, it connected using an ADB connector, which I'm sure most of you have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the Apple desktop bus connector, which made it so that when we went to USB for peripherals, that thing basically
the number one selling technological
adapter.
Gadget that year was the adapter that let you plug that in. Yes.
That's correct. So anyway, I you can't buy one of those now for love or money. You can buy a Matthias, and they are very similar, and they do have that wonderful bounce. But my fingers, well, two things. Number one, I believe that most keyboards are slanted the wrong way.
They
so
are.
You know how most keyboards make you tilt your wrists back and point your fingers upward to get at the upper rows of keys? That's exactly backwards from how you should be pushing your fingers forward. And really what you want is for your wrists to drape your fingers over the keyboard kind of in a casual and relaxed manner without you trying to pull back on your wrists to get to the top rows, which causes a lot of stress on your, what do they call those things in there? Your
carpal tunnels?
Your carpals, exactly. So, for me...
So what's the answer, Bob?
Well, the part of it is the Microsoft Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000, which has been in production, was in production for well over a decade and was only $60 or $50.
Mm-hmm.
It's a USB keyboard for Windows PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So everything about it works, but the option key has a Windows icon. The command key says Alt and, you know, all the usual Windows stuff. But I've been using it with a Mac for 10 years, and they work fine with a Mac, and everything works as expected.
Mm-hmm.
And two things. One, they are slanted the right way. The F keys are lower than the space bar, which is the way your hands naturally should sit on your keyboard. And second of all, the keys under your bigger fingers, like your index finger and your middle finger, are wider than the ones under your pinkies.
It's a good-looking keyboard. I've seen it. I know lots of people who have them.
Well, and it's a slightly split design. So rather than having to kind of scrunch your wrists so that your fingers line up in a row, the rows are kind of angled. And it's way more comfortable for extended typing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a very natural position on this keyboard. And the switches feel a lot like those switches you know and love.
Yeah.
They're called Alps something.
Uh-huh.
They were made by a company called Alps. And Matthias bought the last million of them on Earth.
Yep.
So there's no more after this. But the Microsoft keyboard, whatever it is that they're using, feels a lot like that. It's got just that same amount of bounce, and it's not terribly noisy. Mm-mm. And I know that Matthias now makes a quieter keyboard, which feels almost as good as the original and as quiet.
It's so that like might 85
be a good solution for people.
It's like an 85% solution for me. It does feel a little different. I have very strong feelings about my keyboards. I really do. I do like the quiet. It is much quieter. I do remember having. I have the full on one, and like when you're typing on a keyboard that has the big loud switches in it, Cherry MX switches, I think are those. When you're typing on that keyboard, it's loud. And when you type 100 and something words a minute on that keyboard,
you can't type more quietly.
There is no such thing as quiet. And you basically need to be in an office of your own because that keyboard sits on my desk. And on the weekends when Mr. Kelly is also in the office, I have to use the quiet one because nobody can hear themselves think. It's like being on a shop floor if I'm in the midst of really writing something big. So, I do switch to the quiet one for some things, but I love it.
Satisfying.
It sounds like productivity to me.
I have good news and bad news. So the good news was that the keyboard I've been using has been in production for like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But the last time I looked, which was yesterday, I think it's now out of production. I haven't been able to get a confirmation for positive, but it no longer appears on the Microsoft website. And if you can find it somewhere else, it's likely to be in the $300 to $400 range. So I'm pretty sure they're discontinued and now in very high demand. And the prices have skyrocketed if you can find one. But
of course,
number one, I, of course, expected this, so I have two left. The one I use now and a spare that I bought a few years ago just in case this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then the good news is it looks like Microsoft has a successor.
Oh.
So the one that I love is called the Microsoft Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now something called the Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard. Same price. And in the picture, it looks almost exactly the same, with the exception of the media keys are a different color. There is no, there's a rocker switch in the middle of mine that could be used for the scroll thing that I never use, but I've got one, and it's not on this new one. And finally, it looks like there's one more key between the space bar and the control key on the right, but I can't tell because it's just a photograph. Other than that, it looks exactly the same. So that's the same price, too, $59.99. Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard. So I ordered one yesterday.
Okay.
And I will let everyone know if it's comparable to the 4000 or not. Because if it is, this is, I'm happy to recommend that to you rather than finding one of these old ones for $300. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Even I'm not going to buy another one for $300.
No.
And I like it a lot, but I do have one spare. And you know, when you get to be my age, one spare might be a lifetime.
That's true.
I might not need two spares, but I ordered the Microsoft anyway, and I will report back in a few weeks because $60 is a small price to pay for comfortable typing.
And, it really is.
For people like me, when I'm really, like when I have a book going, I literally sit in front of my computer 6 to 8 hours a day typing. And being able to do that comfortably is a blessing, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this Microsoft Ergonomic Keyboard for $60 that I just ordered is as good as the ones that I've been using for a decade. That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. You can end the podcast now.
Good night, everybody. Well, one of the things that I know is helpful, because I mean there's a lot going on with keyboards, guaranteed. And I would be remiss in having any keyboard conversation because I always end up here anyway. So hi, Brett Terpstra, because Brett and I talk a lot about keyboards. I think I found out about the Matthias keyboard from him. many years ago, and then ended up with my own. But I know he is a super fan of mechanical keyboards, which is like these Cherry MX switches that I'm talking about, those Alp switches. There's other colors. There's like Cherry MX blue and other color. Like, I don't know a lot about the mechanical keyboard universe. I have made a conscious decision not to learn more because I feel like that's a very expensive hobby, given what I know from people who do know a lot about those things. It's very much a hide your Visa card before we have this conversation kind of conversation. So I do know that there's some stuff that you can do. You can buy almost sort of Lego sets of keyboards. So you buy sort of the base you want with the switches you want, and then you can buy keycaps, the actual keys, you know, that you type on. You can buy the actual caps in like all different colors and themes and fonts and things. And there's a whole lot to that whole situation. I think I've told you everything I know about it, which is that there's a lot of them out there, and there are a lot of people who do hold that sort of traveling key action dear to their hearts and still type on these things. And you know, if you have like the Laptop Pro keyboard from Matthias, like that's a pretty portable keyboard overall. It doesn't have a keypad. It's Bluetooth, and it's pretty nifty. I've put a fair number of miles on mine. I really like it. And the Tactile Pro, which is the one that sounds like the full volume keyboard, we'll call
Battleship
it.
Battleship Saratoga.
Yes, that is my favorite keyboard, which I can realistically use with all my devices. It is that keyboard. It makes me very happy.
So I do want to say, by the way, for all of you who are wondering if you're like trying to transition to the iPad lifestyle, you do know that USB keyboards, like my beloved Microsoft keyboards, will plug into your iPad and work flawlessly.
They will.
Little known fact, all you need is the right adapter.
Yeah.
So if you're writing a lot on your iPad and part of your problem is the keyboard, well, you consider, you know, I mean, it's a lot to carry, but if you're going to sit somewhere and type, it might be worth it. Also, the Bridge keyboard, I really like a lot on my iPad.
The Bridge keyboard's
very
nice.
Case, yeah, very. Yeah. And it's got the best tactile response I've found for a little thin keyboard. It's got nice bounce to it.
Yeah.
I don't quite get to 60, 70 words a minute, but I type a lot faster on it than I do on a piece of glass.
Yeah. I type faster on anything than I do on the glass.
My
decision to switch to, it's a very low threshold between when I will stop typing on the glass, go look, it's just going to be easier if I get my keyboard out and get a keyboard out. The point where I haul that out is very low most of the time.
Dictating, usually it's like, wow, you know what, I could dictate and correct it faster than this.
I'll dictate for a minute and then it's like, fine, I'll just get out my keyboard. I do that a fair amount of the time, actually.
The more text I need to enter, the more likely it is I'm using a keyboard of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to hear about your keyboard picks. If you have strong feelings about keyboards, definitely let us know. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Bob, as always, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for putting up with me again.
The pleasure is mine. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. Until then, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.